Rich and famous used to go hand in hand. Now they're disconnected. Fame is available. Wealth is available, but they aren't necessarily connected. Once you become well known on the internet, whatever, you have to then go out and build something on the back of it. You don't just immediately start getting things thrown at you.
Use you to the best of your capability, because that's what's going to work. The problem with that, and the problem with not going to trends and using your own ideas, is two things: fear of judgment and not immediate success. Those two things are what hold people back the most. I'm not saying don't grab something from here, grab something from here, but don't replicate. Be yourself, because in the long term, you're building something real, and it's you. Dude, I did 20 million impressions last month. So I'm averaging like 20, 25 million impressions a month, which means like 25 million people are looking at my face every month, which is like the most ridiculous thing on the face of the fucking planet, you know, because like this is never in the cards.
That's a good week. That's a good week for me. But yeah,
well,
totally.
Okay, you're good. You know, you I'm trying to get to you, man. That's why I'm here.
You know, that's a good start for sure. You'll get there one day. How are you? Because most people that I've watched, when did you start doing this? About 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
I made my first piece of content February 2020. I started doing it full time. I graduated college last year, which was when I first was able to like actually do it full time. And then the 2 years before that, I was a student doing this like part time. So really first video was about 3 years ago, over 3 years ago.
Okay. And you, okay, so I started, I don't have 3 years in, I've got like two-ish something.
You're crushing it, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to keep up with you fucking guys. the situation that I see is a lot of guys come out hot out of the gates, and the relentlessness of content, it just, every day you wake up, views are, it's like back to zero.
Yep.
How do we push the envelope? And you're one of those guys that I just see pushing content out, fresh, good quality stuff, and it gets better and better and better.
I appreciate
that.
I'm
like, how the hell do you maintain that emotional state? How do you maintain the focus? Because I don't think anyone realizes that this job is one of the most psychotic jobs
It's the Wild West. It's not professional. They're like, it's very like, you never know what you're going to get yourself into. And that's part of the reason why I like to do things on my own. But keeping it fresh to me, honestly, Nick, is I love to create things. Like, I just love to create. And I'm a huge believer in, if you love something, then you're going to do it every day. And if you do it every day, you're going to yield some good results, because that's going to create the consistency. But for me, I don't put pressure on myself at all. I'm like, if I like it, like my sister the other day was talking to me. I had this new idea. I was like, I'm gonna fucking put it out, whatever. It's actually the conductor one.
Yeah.
And
okay.
She was like, so like, what if it doesn't do well? And I'm like, well, it's gonna do well, because I only care about one viewer, and that's right in here. My heart. If I in my heart know that it's fucking good, then I don't care, and I'm just gonna put it out. And that's how, honestly, everything started for me, was from that mindset. Like the first video, like this was never in the cards. Like the first video that I put out was merely because it was COVID and my friends were telling me to do it, and I love to make people laugh and I love to create, and I thought it was fun. Like every video I make, humbly saying, I think it's hysterical, and if I don't think it's funny, I'm not gonna posted. So I think that's what keeps me sort of hammering at it, because I love it. I'm obsessed. Like, that's it. Like, once I commit to something, I'm in. And I think just keeping it fresh comes from really just enjoying the process and not being afraid to fall on my face.
Well, because from the beginning, you're like, no one's going to watch these things anyway. So who cares what I do? As long as it makes me laugh,
100%.
No one's going to see this stuff.
Right, 100%. Yes.
You're like, this is like, you know, my mom and dad are going to laugh at this and my sister and that's it.
Yep.
No one's going to see it. So who cares? Right?
Right. And boy, were we wrong. You know?
Now we can't stop people from seeing your shit.
Right. Yeah.
Now it's like you can't even probably go to the grocery store without high-fiving people, right?
Oh, yeah. That honestly, and it used to really freak me out, Nick. I got to be honest with you. But over the last year or so, I've really done a deep dive internally and sort of figured it out. And bro, it's everywhere. There could be, I've been in situations where I'm like traveling and it's mm-hmm. me and one other person in a hotel gym. And they're like, you're so, I'm like, can't fucking escape it. But it's like a different faint. Like I'm sure you've experienced it as well. Like it's different. It's not like camera in your face. Oh my gosh. It's more so like, hey man, I really love what you're doing, which to me is awesome because I couldn't do the other one. You know what I mean?
Well, what's interesting is we're chosen by the people, right? So this is one of those things where in Hollywood, the model is there's one or two gatekeepers that get to decide if you're going to make it or not. They get to decide who's the leading man, who's the leading woman, who's going to be the standout star. And we're crowdsourced, right? So
correct.
Quite literally, there's no middleman. It's if you're funny, you're going to build an audience. If people like you, you're going to build an audience. If there's something special about you, it might not even be funny. There's just something that you can't even put your finger on, right? Because there's so much content out there that people don't even talk. They just you know, has a gesture.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why I'm working so freaking hard over here like a clown.
Hey, man.
You know what I mean? I'm going to start doing silent film stuff over here. but what the huge difference is that you're chosen by the people, you're not thrust upon people, and you're a lot closer to them as opposed to a star that they only see, you know, on Netflix or in the movie theater. So there's two magical factors at play. I think number one is they genuinely like you.
For sure.
I think when someone says thank you, they genuinely like you. When you see Tom, let's use the Tom Cruise example. If Tom Cruise were to walk in the hotel gym, you wouldn't say thank you.
Right.
Would you?
No, I wouldn't for sure.
I'd be like, listen, Tom, you're not going to be on that bench too long, are you, sweetheart?
Yeah.
Like,
hey, listen, Tom, top gun, yeah, what the fucking do? Two more sets and then I got to get on there, all right?
Right. Move your ass.
Yeah.
It's totally different. So I have the same experience when I walk down the street. It's thank you for what you do.
Yep.
Because I think it's making a difference, right? So
100%.
That's fantastic. It's a deeper level, in my opinion, than, you know, oh my God, let me just take a picture and then move on.
100%.
So we're in a weird time because
we are in a weird time.
What I like to think is, number one, it's the phrase rich and famous. Now it's rich and famous used to go hand in hand. Now they're disconnected. Fame is available. Wealth is available, but they aren't necessarily connected. Once you become well known on the internet, whatever, you have to then go out and build something
for sure.
On the back of it. You don't just immediately start getting things thrown at you.
No.
So how did you approach that? Because I'm sure at some point you're doing 20, 30 million impressions and you're like, shit, I got to figure out how to make this thing make money so I don't have to go get a real job. You know, even though this is 10 times harder than a real job.
I would say, I mean, you made a lot of, you said a lot of things there and I want to go through them.
That's what I do. I say a lot of things.
No, I think it's great. The things you said were fantastic. I appreciated the things that you said.
So I
started making the content, right? And it was doing exceptionally well. And it was COVID and there was like, it was just a weird time, right? You had all the time in the world to do it. At the time I was a certified personal trainer. I was training people at the college that I was at. And then I was also training people online. And I always had, and I didn't realize this like prior, because baseball was the only thing that I did prior to content creation and running the media. But I never understood that I really had a knack for people skills and for creation and like seeing something and putting it in a video. Like I didn't think that was a talent. It just kind of like breathe in and out. That's how it felt. Like I never thought that that was something that people value. So I'm making these videos.
Because it came so easy to you. You're like, you're like everyone knows how to make a video, right?
100%. Like, you ever see Goodwill Hunting he's like, well, Mozart could just play. I'm not Mozart by any means. But it's like that same analogy where it's not it's second nature. So I'm training clients, whatever. I started making the videos and they got all this time in the world. And it got to the point where my dad really was the one who pushed me to say, really? Like, yeah, you have something there. Because I didn't even know what a business was. Like, I didn't know anything.
You were an athlete your whole life.
I was a full-blown athlete and full-blown, I'm going to open up a gym. That's going to be my life, right? And it took a good 3 or 4 months of my dad being like, yo, because my dad's my hero, and he's in business, been in business his whole life. So he could see all the things from a bird's eye view that I couldn't even imagine seeing, right? So he's pushing me, and I'm like, nah, dad, I just enjoy making them. You know, I don't want to turn it into, I just want to make people laugh. That's all I want to do. And he's like, well, you could make people laugh. Well, you
and
could
make
also
a lot
make
of
some
fucking money.
And make some money for yourself. I didn't know what that meant. Like, for me, I was like, how? Right? Like, in my head, I'm like, the pieces don't make a puzzle. Then it took 1 month, and I did Cameo for the first time. And people paid me to make videos
bucks
for Christmas.
To say happy birthday, John,
$5.99 for a fucking Cameo. And all I cared about was paying for my bacon, egg, and cheese in the morning and my iced coffee. And I said, all right, I'll do 3 today, takes care of breakfast for tomorrow, and then I'm good. Before you know it, I had 150 requests sitting in my kitty. And I'm like, right. I got to raise the price because I can't keep up. I made around $4,000 in a month. And that was the most money I've ever had, ever. Like, I got 10 bucks, I spent 20. That's how I roll. So I couldn't rub 2 nickels together. All of a sudden, I'm looking at real money in my account. And I'm like,
doing happy birthdays and doing impressions and being funny.
Damn me. Go fuck yourself. Happy birthday. That's what I was doing.
10 bucks. 20 bucks.
Boom.
30 20. Bucks.
It got to 100. So now I'm doing 100 bucks a canyon.
Okay,
I see
that's
money
pretty
in the
good.
Account. Yeah, I'm not on the app anymore. It's just the way things are going. But anyways, there's a lot of money in my account.
I don't think you should be, but this is a good, foray into seeing that it's working out.
You know why all the get-rich-quick books fail? They enforce a map that worked for the author that won't work for you. Why are you learning about digital ads when you'd prefer to set up a booth at a trade show and learn from customers face-to-face? Why are you reading about dropshipping when you're passionate about music? See what I'm saying? My book, The Entrepreneur's Field Guide, provides the tools for you to make your own map so you could feel more connected to your work, make money doing something you enjoy, and give back to the people you care about most. I wrote this field guide not only from my own life experience, but from interviewing top entrepreneurs weekly on my podcast. With the tools in the field guide, you simply can't fail. You'll learn about intelligent pivoting, or what I call iteration, why you already have a multi-million dollar idea in your head, and why you can ignore every hot market you think will make you money so you could focus on the things that you actually enjoy. Or as I like to say, it's not never give up. It's never give up iterating on things you like until something works. Get The Entrepreneur's Field Guide right now at nicholascrown.com. Okay, now back to the show.
So then I'm like, you know what, Dad? I'm in. I'm going to do it. And I went all in. I had no clue, Nick, what any of this shit meant. I was in the most uncomfortable state of mind for like a good year, figuring out how to start a business, how to, like, all these intricacies of owning something. I never understood. And that's really how it started. My dad sort of pushed me, and thank God for him, because without him, I'd be a lost puppy still making cameos trying to pay for my breakfast.
Right.
Yeah.
But, well, number one, we know you're from the East Coast because you just said bacon, egg, and cheese and a nice coffee. So you just.
Salt, pepper, ketchup, like, on an everything bagel.
Yeah. I don't work for the FBI, but I got info on you just from that leak. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
So salt, pepper, ketchup. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right there with you on that one, on that order.
Amen.
But yeah, I mean, okay. So number one, you see feedback and you see the dollar signs, right? Because
correct.
You say, let me go on this app Cameo, which, you know, We don't need to go on about why that's probably not the best use of your time anymore, right? But what it does is it shows that there's people willing to pay for what you're doing. And what you're doing is just being yourself, right?
Right.
Being funny, being entertaining. So you go, holy shit, is this even real?
I felt dirty. I felt dirty. I was like,
you're
why
like,
is
I'm
that
just
working?
Being me,
yep.
Getting money. So this is what I like to call iterate until you hear an applause. You're hearing the freaking applause right now. And people open up their wallets. Okay. So this is a major, major moment because you say, I'm just playing around. All of a sudden people are paying me to do this thing that I do that, by the way, if I were to write it down as a one-liner, you wouldn't believe it. Like, okay,
right.
I do this impression of an Italian guy and then someone sends me $100.
Right.
What? Is that, I don't know if that's a, is that a thing?
That's
you
a
know,
thing.
Is that how, is that a thing? So what we're seeing right now, this is just like the golden road for whatever it is that you're doing, right? It doesn't need to have a title. It doesn't need to have a job description. If people are there listening, clapping, and then ultimately sending you money to do that thing over and over again, you've struck fucking gold, dude.
Yeah.
You struck gold. So this process of iteration that you went through and, you know, getting on Cameo, I mean, that was the ultimate confirmation. And I'm sure your dad was very pleased to see that because he's like, okay, now we know the market's willing to pay, you know?
Right. And I'm sure if you ask him, he'd be like, well, I always know. And yeah, but
I didn't need to see the Cameo to know
exactly
that this was good.
And then once that got started, it just didn't stop. And when I mean it didn't stop, I mean like we didn't stop. And I just kept, but at that same time too, I've always been, and this is, I give credit to how I was raised. I always stay true to my core pillars as an individual. So I'm huge on, like, I think everybody should sit down, take an hour and just write out like someone, like your name, my personal mission statement, and write out like who you are, what your pillars are, what you're not going to go against and stick to it. And I know that being embedded in who I am and knowing the things I'm going to do and what I'm about helped me navigate such a windy road, because I would wake up with 70,000 new people in my social media telling me, you know, this and that. Now you bring in, you know, people trying to represent me, and then you try to bring in all these other opportunities. And I think if had I not have been so grounded in who I was, then who knows what would have happened. So I'm very blessed in that sense. But I think it also contributed to sort of staying on that same plane of like spreading good in the world through laughter, which is the Nikki Glaser branded mission statement. Laughter and activity, sorry. But for me, it was just such a vital part because, and you know this just as well, the content creation business and market is just so, like, you never fucking know. You don't know. Like, people, they mean, it's just, there's no continuity or fluidity in any of it. And it's a blessing, but it's also tough to navigate if you're first starting. Mind you, I'm taking 18 credits my fall semester in college trying to pass. I'm in meetings in the morning.
You're
I'm going to class, and I'm in meetings at night. It was just fucking crazy, you know?
Well, in a sense, it's better that you didn't go and waste time going the traditional path when you have this talent, you have this, you know, the metal detector starts going off. Boop, 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 boop,
right.
Boop. Oh, wait, we got something over here. It's great that you didn't have to go that direction, but going that direction, you might have felt a little bit more prepared when it comes 100%. To the business side of this whole thing. Because what I see is with creators that, and most popular creators are far younger than me, right? And they've gone directly from college or they started in college. And so they didn't have the experience on the business side. And what ends up happening is there's so many sharks and so many gators in the water ready to take advantage of young creators who are hungry and don't know what they're
and you're not. You're a little piece of fucking chicken.
You're a little piece of chicken breast. Okay.
Yeah.
And people, you know, start to swarm and surround you. And what they end up doing is they really take advantage of your talent. They pay you very, very little, and they don't leave you with much experience and education in the process, which I think is one of the most dangerous things. What I've seen that you've been doing is quickly you've understood that, you know, you need to own a lot of this process yourself. You need to own your brand. You need to understand. Otherwise, you're building a castle made of sand, really.
Correct. Great analogy.
And that's ultimately what I see content creation. If you're creating content for content's sake, you're building a castle made of sand. Because if you're just saying someone else is going to make my decisions around if I get paid or not, well,
right,
then you might not eat this month.
And to that point, like, that's why, again, I feel like it's a business, and a good business has good business practice and good business ethics. And whether you're a company of one or a company of 100, there's some sort of direction of what it is you're actually building, right? Like, we're not just, when I go to create, I'm not just saying fuck it, right? Like, I'm sitting down and I'm like, I think this is going to work. And now how can I parlay my primary point of value, which is the laughter, to then bring in other things that are going to create the monetization? But none of that happens if I don't have a clear direction as to what it is I'm actually creating, right? It's not just throw shit on the wall and just hopefully one of them sticks. Like, as you learn and as you create, you start to see, well, what works and what doesn't. And you sort of build off of that. But again, if you don't have, and this is why it's funny to like hear people, like, I don't know if you've experienced this, but when people talk about, like, they try and they're, oh, it must be so fun just making videos all day and that's your job. And I'm like, well, creating the videos is 1% of what I do. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, it's not just recorded and posted. There's so much that goes into it. And there's so much on the back end. And it's just, it's vital in this world of content creation to be aware of that and to understand what it is you're actually building. Because you're building something. Whether you like it or not, you're building something.
Well, you better be. You better be. Or you're going to wake up one day and you're not going to have anything to show for all the hard work that you put
100%.
In. 100%. You know?
100%.
I mean, the comedy of my sort of foray into content is, number one, it was completely accidental like yours.
Yeah.
The difference was,
it's always the best.
Instead of just graduating from school, I was, 10 years out of school, had run a business on Wall Street, had just shut down a successful business that was making me miserable.
Right.
And like, talk about the weirdest thing, you know, a 30 something guy could do is start creating TikToks in his living room. and that's basically what I did.
They were great.
Well, thank God they were good, because I don't know what, you know, I don't know what I'd be doing now. But the funny thing is that it was just like completely a random iteration. It worked out. And then I, even though I should know better, I went so hard and heavy into growing and scaling that I used 100% of my energy making videos, 100% of my energy getting those skits out there. I recorded a skit every single day, I think, for almost a year, every single weekday. For almost a year, which was crazy. But what I didn't do is I didn't use my business skills to start building the business while I was growing the audience. So that was, if I have any regrets in this game, it would have been, Nick, do 10% building the business. Because what I found myself doing now, number one, I'm just sort of I didn't really even understand what I was doing until I had done it for at least a year. I was learning what do these skits even mean?
Right?
Like, what am I really saying?
But
with
you
this
need
stuff?
That. Like, you need that in your head, because otherwise you're literally like, what the fuck's my, like, why, what's the purpose of doing this? Right.
Right. Right. So I discovered the purpose for doing it while doing it.
Yep.
But far into it. So what I had to do was to play catch up and to understand what are the elements of my content that resonate, and then to create meaningful things around that, because this traditional stuff doesn't really resonate for me. I'm not sure people are lining up to buy a t-shirt with my head on it, but to be honest with you, I haven't really tried it, so what I ended up doing was going the route of, well, all of this stuff in the skits is funny, right? Let me give you the tools and the backup that make Mr. Crown Mr. Crown, so that we can still have the fun and have all the laughs, but I want to leave you with more than that. I want to leave you with more than just a few chuckles. I want to leave you with something valuable. So that's when I went the direction of writing the Entrepreneur's Field Guide, that I'm building out a guided journey there where it's like a college lecture and I'm your crazy ass professor. Nicholas
Crown.
Congrats
on that, by the way. I saw that.
Thank you. Yeah. So the next steps are the major, I signed a major book deal. So we have a big boy book coming out. This is where we're headed, but this is a long-winded way of saying that you're so ahead of the game that you've been able to see this and build this in real time, because if you don't do this, you can't keep creating content.
Right, 100%, 100%.
If you don't turn it into a business, it doesn't survive.
Right. And that's tough. That's tough to tell a creator first, like a guy who's creative, who's creative, to be able to then, and that was hard for me in the beginning, to understand the what goes into turning something of value into a business. Not to say I didn't like it, it just was brand new to me. I love it. I think that being an entrepreneur and owning something is one of the most, I just get chills thinking about it. It's just one of the most amazing things to go after something that you enjoy doing and then trying to make it so that you can do it all the time and put food on the table at the same time. In the process, you fuck up all the time, but you meet incredible people, you meet not so incredible people, and you really, like, I wrote a paper on this in college, and I got extra credit on it. I got 110.
Congratulations.
Yeah, no, it's big for me. But you really hone in the skills of just being a great human being. Like, I've met a lot of entrepreneurs who started from the mud and then they're now all the way up top here. You got down here experience and now you got up here experience. Like, being that sort of well versed in just a human being standpoint, to me, is like part of the reason why we're here, right? Like, I'm a deep guy. I could go there if you want, but for me, it's just such an incredible thing. And that's when, like, you're really living, like when you're doing shit that you actually want to do. In my mind, that's life. And that has been the most incredible thing. Had I not gone out of my comfort zone and like faced my fears of what I thought this was going to be, who knows where I would be. But along with, you know, understanding that in order to continue to do the thing that I love, and that is create, you need to do the not so fun things and you need to learn the not so fun things. I bought the fucking How to Start a Business for Dummies book, mm-hmm. and just read, you know, the ground zero sort of stuff, YouTube, podcasts, books, all this sort of shit that, you know, ain't the funnest to do, but it really makes it like that. I love that. Like, I've always been like the journey guy. So mm-hmm. you're 100% right in the scope of, like, it needs to be a business, but being a creator first and also being young minded, so to speak, in my age, you don't really know what that entails until you actually make that decision. So it's just incredible, you know?
Well, what you're doing, it doesn't matter if you're 25 or you're 35 or you're 45 or you're 105. You're doing something. You're 22. Okay, for fuck's sake, this is bullshit. when you're doing something for the first time, it's scary no matter what.
No matter what.
Because you don't know how to do it, right? So like,
right.
You don't know how to do it. You don't know what the rules are. And it's funny, you could read Starting a Business for Dummies and you're like, I feel like 0.5% more equipped to do this now. Like it's not like you read the book, you study YouTube and you go, okay, I'm 100% there. You still have to go and do it. It's like baseball. You could read How to Play Baseball for Fucking Dummies, and you're not gonna, slug one out of the fucking, you know what I mean?
Right.
You're not gonna just hit the back walls of the Green Monster. It's just not gonna happen, right?
Exactly.
So the deal is, in business, you have to go out and do it for yourself. You have to go out and face that fear. But my whole thing is, get comfortable never knowing what you're doing. Because if you're someone that's just like, my life on a day-to-day basis is me not knowing how to do shit and doing it anyway, well then you're like a superhero, because all you're doing is expanding your horizons. All you're doing is trying new things. All you're doing is trying to play around in the sandbox.
Yeah.
Because it's like, just like starting to make content. You're like, oh man, I'll put this up. I'll throw that. It's like, why do we put business on such a pedestal? Why do we put entrepreneurship on a pedestal? It's the same freaking thing. You're like, I don't know. Maybe I'll make a t-shirt. Maybe I'll make a mug. Maybe I'll make a website that gives people advice on this. Maybe I'll sell a coaching shirt. Whatever. It's like, it's the same thing. If no one wants it, they won't buy it. They won't see it. Just like a video that doesn't go viral for you, right? Which doesn't happen because you've got a fucking, you're just crushing it, bro. But you know what I mean? It's like, why do we put why does business have a capital B and everything is like, oh, I guess I'll make a video that maybe 100 million people will see. It's like, it's way freakier to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's way more strange and alien to the human experience to do that.
100%. No, but it's so great at the same time once you take the step to do it. For me, and I don't, like, I used to think that there was something kind of fucked up about me, in the sense to where, like, if I fail or if I screw something up, like, it never, like, I don't even feel anything. I'm like, okay, next time. Like, it's like, if you punch me in the face, I'm going to stand up and say, all right, let's go again. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, innate. And I think that contributes to it as well. Is like, I care, but if I fuck up, I'm not.
What you're saying is, you're taking the word failure and you're replacing it with the word rep. It's like, I got a rep in.
That's a bar. That's a bar. Clip that up.
It's what we do here, baby.
Yeah, no, you're just getting reps. You're just getting reps. Absolutely.
It's like, do you ever yell at someone for doing a rep at the gym? Dude, you just did another rep.
No, you're right.
What the fuck? It's like,
you're right.
Good job. You got another rep in, dude.
Right.
You know,
100%.
Even if their arms aren't, even if their arms aren't Schwarzenegger status, it's like, okay, that rep is putting you one step closer, to being the fucking Terminator one day.
Yep.
So I'm not going to hate on you for putting that rep in, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing all day long.
All day long.
We're just putting the reps in.
All day long.
Failure is a word for somebody else to use, dude, because I'm not building rockets over here. You know, I'm not doing anything where it blows up. I'm not putting, anyone's lives at stake. You know, there's smarter people. There's better equipped people that are going to be working on those projects.
I'm putting a pillow on my belly. That's really what I'm doing.
You're putting a pillow under your t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, it's actually a blanket. It used to be a pillow.
Yeah, can we break this down, please?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't give away all your trade secrets. Obviously, there's plenty of viewers here.
No, I'll give you a little bit. It's not a pillow. It used to be a pillow. But I'm like, you know what? I can't be that. I'm not that versatile in a pillow. I need a little bit more flesh. Because the pillow that I was using was like one of the hard pillows. And I'm a soft pillow guy. And it made me look too much like a guy, wrong. And so I'm like, if I just get the blanket, it's softer. So I could sort of like, I could, let me see if I can give you. Like,
do you
I could
roll
sort
the
of,
blanket under...
I kind of pat it around like this.
It's more realistic that way.
Yes, because if I walk, it'll kind of do this, as the pillow didn't have that much flexion. So I put the pillow in and I tucked the shirt in And when the shirt gets tucked in, we're in sport mode, baby.
We're
let's
cooking with fire
go.
Now.
Yeah, yeah, let's fucking go.
The spoiler on the Porsche goes up when that shirt gets tucked in.
Oh, you betcha. Sometimes it takes about a good 5 minutes to get that to get those
to get it all
bottom.
Tucked in the right way.
Yeah, yeah, but it's just and like you were saying too, it's like, you know, it's just reps. Like that whole thing started with me going to a restaurant. And the way the owner of the restaurant being there, just being a fucking, just say, hey, the vibes of kids, they doing all right? And then I'm like, man, like, this is something. And I was like, how do I make myself look like him? I'm like, shit, I just put a pillow on in my thing. I walk out, my girlfriend's at the house, and I'm like, what do you think of this one, babe? She's like, yeah, it's not good note, man. It really is. It's not good note. And then it started from there. People loved it. And if they didn't love it, all right. Let's do it again, you know?
Right. What? So this is also really important because, you know, what you're doing is you're playing within your own, you're playing with your own world, right? The Italian restaurant, the Italian family, you're playing with these things that are meaningful to you and that you know, right? And it makes you a really authentic spokesperson for this corner of the world, right? It's
for sure.
It's this Northeast Jersey, New York, Italian American family, Italian American restaurant and culture that, I mean, we're enraptured by it, right?
Yeah.
In America, because it's funny on one hand and it's admirable on another because there's this value system to it. And it's like, it just doesn't even make any sense how it still is the way it is. You know what I mean? Like it's been preserved, you know, in a way.
It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed.
And you've all met somebody like some of the characters that I portray.
That's why they go viral.
Right.
Right? Because everyone goes, that's the guy.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the guy in my hometown.
100%. Like the high school baseball coach. I mean, we've all had one who's just like, listen, I'll play with eight. I don't care. You guys think that you're a good ball club? This guy showed up, he didn't even fucking play. He's a freshman and showed up for BP. And it just works because everyone's experienced it, you know? And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because it's
all right,
awesome.
Here's an interesting question. Is most of your audience from the U.S.? Because I'm wondering if some of this stuff translates to... Yeah, is it mostly
US,
people from the
U.S. Uh-huh. Northeast? Then it's Canada. Then it's Australia.
Yeah, English speaking.
But I've gone out of the country, and I've been recognized, which is nuts. First of all, global. Yeah. Nikki C. Global, uh-huh. And it's just. It's crazy, but primarily it'd be exactly what you think. It's the Northeast in the U.S., but then there's a lot of Italians in Australia and some towards Toronto, Canada. So that's the primary. I could send you a media kit if you want.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah.
That'd be great. It's just another testament to talk about the shit that you know,
Right.
So like if you're like, all right, I got to be a content creator. So I like Nikki Cassie does Italian stuff. You know, I'm not Italian, but I'll try that.
Right.
It's like, why?
It doesn't work.
Why?
It doesn't work.
You got to be yourself. You got to be yourself to even have a shot.
100%.
And even then we don't really have a shot. So we got to start there.
And it's so true. So I do a lot of I'm lucky enough to speak to my entrepreneurship classes at the college I went to, and I also do a bit of consulting on the side, not on the side, it's a leg of my business, but the one thing, and I'll never forget, I wasn't the best student. Like, school was never the place for me. I was always just high strung and just wanted to just do things. And just sitting down in a classroom wasn't for me. But the one of two professors that I really liked in college said, you are your biggest asset to anything. So use it. And in the world of content, it's like, stop trying to one. Well, a big thing I'm passionate about in the consulting side is like, use you to the best of your capability, because that's what's going to work. The problem with that, and the problem with not going to trends and using your own ideas, is two things: fear of judgment and not immediate success. Those two things are what hold people back the most. I'm not saying don't grab something from here, grab something from here, but don't replicate. Be yourself, because in the long term, you're building something real, and it's you, right? Because a trend's going to go like that. And if you're trying to be somebody
It's heavy to lift a trend. It's easy to be yourself. Easier.
It's not easy, but it doesn't yield good results in the beginning. Because Instagram, the algorithm is like, well, who the fuck's this guy? Or who the fuck's this girl? And you got to keep clawing at it, right?
Right.
But in the long run, you're building longevity because people know you now. You know?
Yeah.
What are you looking at? You look up to the ceiling every time.
I think. That's how I think.
You're gathering your thoughts like this?
No, I now know that I do that, and I just go, fuck it. That's just me at this point. I do it. It's like very like Galileo, right? It's like, it's classical.
I think it's great. I'm waiting for when you come down to say some revolutionizing shit.
Revolucionato.
Yeah.
Do you speak Italian, by the way? I don't.
I don't. I can understand it better than I can speak it.
Yeah, I don't either.
I would love to learn. I took Italian in college, forgot it all. So,
but you got enough slang to keep you abreast.
For sure. I'm going to Italy towards the end of the year. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, maybe I'll pick up. Maybe I'll come back fluent. Who knows?
I'll see you there. Well, I'm in Italy at the end of September, so you might be there a little bit later than me.
I'll show you a text after. I'll tell you when I'm done.
Seeing the old country, sweetheart.
It's great.
Yeah, I think that the important thing about if you aren't building something that's authentic, look, let me give you a personal example, okay? So I feel compelled to talk about certain topics, to act in a certain way when I have certain guests on. I feel compelled to increase the roster of entrepreneur guests. And what I find is I bump up against this authenticity railing or fence every once in a while. And I'm like, I don't actually fucking want to do that. I don't want to talk to, like, I don't actually want to do this specific thing. I'm way too much of a goofball to do this. I prefer to do this. I'm not that serious. I don't want to be serious all day long. And so in my own iterations, because this podcast, let's face it, is an iteration, and within it are micro iterations. What kind of guests do I have on, right? Do I have Nikki Cass, or, you know, do I have the hottest YC founders that are creating whatever, some AI, machine learning, whatever is the hot sort of trending topic right now. And it's this thing, when I do what I think I should do, I hate it. It falls flat. People don't like it. You know, I was on a podcast with somebody, was filming something, and they were like, Nick looks really tired. Are you tired? It's like, no, I'm not tired. I just don't give a fuck about this conversation right now. You know,
it's hard. You're right. It's hard to, for me, and obviously for everyone, like when you feel that, like when you feel like you got to fake it. And I used to experience this in the beginning, because like I said, you know, we came out of COVID, and I tell you, everywhere I went, I got stormed by people, and it was uncomfortable for me because one, it was new, like we were talking about earlier, but also I didn't know if, like, I wanted everybody to have a pleasant experience with me. I wanted them to leave the conversation and say, wow, that was incredible.
So you're going above and beyond. It's 100%. Like, I don't even act like this.
But it was even, like, I'm a very extroverted, like, I love to talk to people. And I really do care about the people that I converse with. And I give them as much energy freely as I want. It doesn't feel like anything. But when you do that for for, you know, over and over again. You always feel like you have to be on, so to speak. It's exhausting. I know exactly how you feel, especially when you're not really in it, like what it is you're doing. And I'm a big believer in being disciplined in how you treat people and how you interact with people. But there's that side of me. But then there's also the side of me where I look like I'm a mute and I don't want to say a single thing. And I don't, I've got a straight face and I'm just very sort of monotone. I'm completely happy. But sometimes it's kind of like doing the cool down
miles
after a long run. Yeah, your energy
levels are lower.
100%. And it's tough to like, because I've been like, oh, I think I should do this, but do I want to do it? And that thought process early on is tough to navigate. But then you find, you know, part of being an entrepreneur is, you know, having the ball in your hand most of the time and passing when you want to and scoring when you want to. And so it's really like, well, I'm not going to do this because it's just not for me and I'm not going to do it. And that's okay. And yes, in the world of business, would it look better if you make certain moves or if you go to certain events or if you meet certain people? Sure. But it's like finding that line where it's like, is the juice worth the squeeze for the sake of the business or the sake of me? I'm sweating.
I love it. Don't do anything you don't want to do anymore. It's like that. That's my thing. It's just like, don't do anything you don't want to do anymore. Because I do, dude, the shit that I do that you're going, you wanted to do that? Like, you know, I'm on Sunday, all I'm doing is A/B testing things on my website, right? On Sunday, all I'm doing is trying copy and micro tweaks on things to improve the conversion rate of my book sale, right? I'm designing a new cover.
That's fun.
Yeah. And people are like, that's what you're doing on a Sunday? It's like, well, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of what I was doing on a Sunday. Bro. I'm not forcing myself to do that is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But what I am forcing myself to do is sometimes, you know, my team will drop me a note, you know, hey, you know, is there anything you want to comment about with this recent development? I'm like, no.
Right.
Not really. Uh-huh.
But would, and I fall victim to this too, would it help the bigger picture if you drop a comment?
I think the only thing that helps the bigger picture is you being more yourself.
Okay.
Because when you're veering into other territory, it gets heavy to lift. It gets hard to manage.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a model I'm just thinking about that I've never quite thought of in this way. It's almost like carrying a lie. You know, when you tell your dad, you know, hey.
Oh, no, not me. Don't use a different example. No, okay,
that actually just stressed you out right there. I saw that. You know, you're a kid. You're like, oh, no, I didn't go to Tommy's party. You know, Tommy's party. And you went, right?
You went.
You're like, it's like destroys your week. Having
destroys your week.
Destroys
dude.
Your week. And then they're like, hey, so when you were, you know, whatever, and you're like, I was at Tommy's party. And you're like, baseball camp went late. Whatever it is. It's okay. When you're not yourself, it's kind of like telling your dad that you didn't go to Tommy's party.
Right. It's exhausting.
Like,
you're
like, sorry, what does the fake version of me want to say now? What is the what is the more professional version of me? What does the intelligent version of me want to say? And God, you're like, am I still being that person? Because this is really hard to do.
Right. Yeah, and to that, I think for me though, it's more of like, am I changing? Like I recognize that I'm intense for some people. And when I change like my level of, for lack of a better word, intensity, or when I don't curse in a meeting, or when I don't say, when I'm just like, I tone it down. And I think that's different than completely changing what your game plan is.
You're modulating.
You have to. You know?
You're not taking a different avenue.
No.
You know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You're just like, okay, I know where I'm at. You know, right. Just like if you're in the doctor's office and someone sits, you know, you go, hey, can you believe this fucking place is piece of shit wallpaper? You know, you don't.
Right.
You know, you're not completely.
Right.
You're thinking it.
Hey, you're thinking it. And I can appreciate people who actually say that. But no, honestly, early on, I thought I had to be Nicky Cash, what people thought Nicky Cash was. You know
so
what I'm
when
saying?
You meet somebody, you're going, I got to make these people
going,
die.
What's going on?
Yeah. Hey. And you're like, what the fuck? Because the person's going, what the fuck is this guy doing? You're not even getting the result that you want, right?
Right. Right. And it slowly, it just became tiring, for lack of a better word. And I was like,
you're
you know what?
You're putting a skit on every 100%. Time you
because
meet somebody.
That's what I thought people wanted. And at the expense of my own energy levels, I basically said to myself, I don't really have to prove myself, right? Like, stop trying to prove that, like, what you're seeing is what you're getting. Because what you're seeing is what you're getting. And there's no, I got to tell you, every time you look up, I'm like, oh, the ceiling's going to fucking fall on its face. I'm like,
we're good,
what,
baby.
Is there
we're
a
good.
Leak? Is there, everything's good?
Well no one realizes that you actually have a British accent. You're from London. Yeah. You're one of these guys that's actually British. You know?
We should do a thumbnail for the pod. Like,
yeah.
And then, oh, that, Nicky Cash is British.
You know, you're so deep into this character, people don't even realize that you're an Englishman.
Right. No, they don't. And they don't even know that I don't even drink coffee. I drink tea and have crumpets. I think that's what it is.
Right, exactly.
That's what it is. But no, man, listen. Like I said, you know, through all the iterations, because you've been using that word the whole podcast, and I'm going to start using it now.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Of develop, it's a great word, of developing and being in a point in my life where it you are like growing up and you are experiencing a transition from college to adulthood. Like, you just look back and I just can't be more, you know, thankful and grateful for what Nicky Cash Media has given me. And I'll never forget, last year I was like wrapping up the year and I was planning out what I was going to do for the following year and some goals that I had. And I'm like writing out all this stuff and I just like lost it. Like, I just started bawling my eyes out by myself in my garage on my computer. And I was like, wow, like I've grown so much from a business perspective and from a person perspective that had I not taken the leap, and I think that, and I talk about this when I talk to my old entrepreneurship class, if I had not run at my fears and like that uncomfortable area head first, none of this would have been possible. And fear is such a funny thing because fear is deathly afraid of you, right? Because if you run at fear and you're like, fuck you, fear, I don't care, then it's powerless. So fear is afraid of the day that you turn and look at it and say, I'm coming for you, because then it can't control you anymore. And had I not realized that and done that, I would have never experienced any, like, I couldn't imagine myself in this podcast right now conversing with you, whom I've been a fan of in terms of what you've been able to build in your content, but not really know you, but still be cool with what I'm saying and being myself. I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not made the decision initially to jump into this thing and walk the line of the journey. So it's just a crazy cool thing. And I think if anybody, especially my age, at that 20 to 25, wherever, honestly, like take a fucking risk. There's a quote that I am a fan of. It's jump when you can afford to drown. What do I got? You know, I just graduated college. I'm doing this. If I fail, I trust myself, I'll be all right. Like, if you're 35, you're married, you got kids, it's not as easy, you know? And I think a lot more people my age can really benefit from getting uncomfortable and being okay with being uncomfortable in those moments. Oh, wow. You're thinking a lot, huh?
Don't count.
No, I'm sorry. I'll do it with you.
There's this genius who I'm going to compare myself to really quick. There's this guy, Brian Johnson. He's like the guy that's never going to die. He's spending millions of dollars on his health. You've seen this guy?
Is that the Liver King? Brian Johnson, I think, is the Liver King. But there's another Brian Johnson?
Maybe it's his brother.
Could be his brother. We don't know.
Could be his brother. Okay? What do I know? Everything?
I'm not saying
you did. Check it out. There's this guy. He famously will be silent and think until he's ready. And it's the most gangster thing I've ever seen. Because he's on a podcast and you ask a question, he'll just be like this.
I love it. No, I think it's great. I'm going to start doing it.
You should start doing it. You could use my move where you just go, "The fuck is up there?"
No, it's good. I like what you said.
Yeah. Wow. I need time to think. Okay?
No, go ahead,
Nikki.
Go ahead.
I'm not like you. Okay.
No, go ahead.
I don't do a skit every single day. Just fall, you know.
Think. I'm here. When you're ready, you let me know.
Okay. So when you created the skit around the Italian, was it the gutter company, 1-800-CLEAN-MY-GUTTERS?
Michael Belafonte. Yeah.
Michael Belafonte.
Yeah.
You create a skit, you create these characters, and then ultimately inside of the skit is a business. Now, I thought that this was really interesting what you did, because you're a business. Then there's, you know, there's the media, there's everything you do. And then inside of one skit, there's a business. So tell me what you did with this character and this gutter cleaning company.
So it first started out, there was this old school commercial in my neighborhood where the guy would get on the TV and he'd say, "We've been in business for this long. We understand." And like he would get into it. And it was a glass cleaning company. And I was like, that'd be fucking funny if we recreated the skit. And so we did it. And I'm like, all right, I need a name. And this is the best part, like creating a name. And me and the guy who helped me with it, his name is Michael, shout out Michael, was like, what about, actually, funny enough, Michael Belafonte, I was like, what do you think of like something's font, like Fonty here, font? And he's like, yeah. And I said, Michael Belafonte. And he was like, oh, that's it.
That's it.
And I said, all right. So we let it rip, and we did the commercial. We did the video. It did some numbers. And I'm like, all right. Like, why don't we just make a T-shirt now of the Belafonte Power Wash in the Gutters, 1-800-FIX-MY-GUTTERS, and let's sell the T-shirt. And we did it. And, you know, things panned out very well. And it's like stuff like that is cool because that's 100% Nikki Cash Media, right? You're not waiting for somebody to stroll in and be like, "Let's sponsor this video." It's my idea, my content, my monetization, which is cool, and is one of the many aspects of how you can leverage your audience and grow your business. But for me, that's how it started. I never really thought of it like that, creating a little business within the video. So that's good to know.
Think about it, right? Every video contains a world. Every video contains characters, and what you don't know it, but you're interested in these small businesses, the Italian restaurant, the gutter cleaner, right? And so ultimately, these businesses, these make believe businesses, become very real when you start to sell hoodies and T-shirts from Belafonte's, right?
Sure.
And It's one of those areas, I think, where you couldn't get more authentic than that.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, 100%.
You're saying, I'm building a product. The tricky thing here is you go, I don't know what product to create. Let me just create some shitty product so I can take money from people, right? That's
never.
You're like, never. Not you.
Never.
Not you, Nikki, but someone else. With a lot less, you know. A lot less brass would consider doing this, right?
You throw out terms before I sorry to cut you off that I don't even know what the fuck they mean. Brass? What is brass?
It actually means brass balls.
Does it?
Yeah. It's a compliment, okay. Sweetheart.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate it.
Just roll with it. Roll with it.
I'll roll with it.
It's also a phrase called the top brass. So at a company, the CEO, the management, it's called top brass.
Got it. Okay.
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 We're good?
Okay. Brass balls.
Can I keep going now?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Can I keep going now? You're going to fucking interrupt me on my own goddamn show.
Yeah, you got it. Go ahead.
So I don't know. I didn't even know what the fuck I was talking about.
No, you're saying there's some that create a shitty product.
You don't even
and they
remember.
Sell it. No, I remember. You create a shitty product and you sell it. You're not as you're more brass. Go ahead.
Good. Good. Perfect. No, what you're tempted to do is you're tempted to say, "Oh shit, I don't want a brand making the decisions for me. I'm going to sell my own product." And you say, what am I going to do? Let me copy someone. Let me create a piece of shit, right? And and then all you end up doing is it's like you end up hurting yourself trying to do these cash grab things. And this is one of those missteps, right? I'll give you an example, right? When I started to write the field guide, I was like, I want to create a very low, you know, I started from the business as opposed to from the passion or from the vision. I was
correct.
Like, I want to create a very low cost product that is educational. So no, I'll create an ebook and it'll be short. It'll be a couple weeks of investment for me and I'll be able to push it out. And of course, I started to write the ebook and I'm like, okay, this isn't an ebook. This is a real book. I'm just going to write the whole fucking book because once I got into it, I go, I think there was something inside of me that was like, do not phone this in. Do not create a product that isn't a great product.
You can't. Yep.
Because if you create a great product, man, it can just live on its own.
Yep.
Right? If you create a piece of shit, you have to keep pushing it up.
Stinks.
You know, it stinks. Call 1-800. Fix my gutters.
If you got a piece of shit that stinks, call 1-800, fix my gutters, and Mike Dean will show up at your door. If your gutters are wonky, call Belafonte.
The point at the end.
Right, the point. It took us.
How many takes did you do?
30. At least 30. I'm going to do it for you because, you know, I really appreciate it.
Did you keep laughing when you were doing it? Like
every time. I bust right there. Come on. If your gutters are wonky, call Belafonte. Boom. And I would lose it. That and the music conductor one, for whatever reason, couldn't keep it together. Really couldn't keep it together.
So this turn.
Yeah, so
I know
what you
can't
you
see from
to,
my camera.
I'll give you
it's
a I'll
turn.
Give you the form.
It's a twist.
It's okay. You kind of got to be your legs bent.
Your
a
knees
little bit.
Are bent.
Yeah, but then before you're ready to sink. You kind of give it just, you see how I did a little pop up there?
Yeah.
I pop up and then I sink back down. And then you kind of turn. Boom. Right like this. Boom. That's great. That's great.
Oh, God. Oh, it's so sick.
It's sick.
Oh, man. It is sick. I don't know what just happened. I got lost up. I got lost in the point from the Belafonte point.
I'm thinking.
Let me attempt to make sense of why we're laughing about all this stuff. I think what we're laughing about and why everyone is laughing, you know, with us here in you know, on social media, with you. I haven't been invited to your fucking podcast.
I ain't got one. I ain't got one. One day I will.
I think what's happening is you're creating a one-of-a-kind experience for these people, and you've picked a corner of the world that no one is getting quite right, and you're the one getting it. And if they want to laugh about these types of characters, they have to go to you. You've cornered the market on this kind of stuff.
Created a blue ocean.
And you've created your own little sliver. Right, and you said I'm going to own this space, and you own that space, and once you do that, dude, man, then it's just up to you to build the right products around it and to keep people laughing and enjoying and cheering you along, and watching, you know, your work, and of course being interested to talk to you on the show. You know, I'm cheering along, you know, for you, bro.
I appreciate it. Me as well to you. I'll never forget the first video I ever saw of yours was the Christmas tree one with the rich versus really rich. And I tell you what, Nick, that for whatever reason did something to my soul. I saw the video and I was like, that's who I want to be. I don't want to be the really rich guy. I don't want to be the rich guy. I want to be the really rich. And I'm not talking about dollars. I'm talking about up here. Because you'll see, and obviously you know this because you created the characters themselves, and obviously you have experience within the field that you're in. But that's the guy who's the guy. And he don't need to tell you that he's the guy. And you've really shown that through your content. And I, for one, appreciate it because I'm not a give me all the credit kind of guy, but I know in the back of my head that I'm the guy. And I just love the way you demonstrate that and really flip the script on what real wealth, and I don't know, I like dollar signs, sure, but also wealth within here is. Because if you got it in here, and like you'll see, like you've probably met a bazillion people who've got like the wealth in here, and they turn out to be very successful people. And there's like no way that you can't get there without it. And I just, if you're giving me flowers, I'm going to give you flowers as well, because it's a talent to be able to bring that through. And I loved it. And it's just been cool to see you grow as well. And I gotta get that book. I gotta talk to you about that too, because I'm gonna write one here soon as well. I'm not gonna give it away what it is, but it's gonna be a good one.
Okay, I'll pick it up. You're trying to get a, what you're trying to do is you want me to get you a book like on it, like for 30% off. Is that what's going on?
No.
You're using this as an opportunity to.
No. What I'm going to do
is just pay the full retail price.
I'm going to pay the full retail price.
MSRP.
And you know what? I'll pay MSRP and I'll pay shipping. I'll do both.
It's free. It's Amazon Prime, baby.
Amazon Prime. So I'm going to order the book after. It'll get here tomorrow.
Okay. I'm not going to guarantee that.
Okay. Take
that's
that
up
out
with
of
Amazon.
Your hands.
That's out,
that's
of my
out
hands.
Of your hand.
Listen, dude. This was a lot of fun. I hope that between the goofing around, this is really a show about if you hover around things that you're interested in and you've always been interested in, and put it on screen, put it on paper, put it into a business, whatever, then this magic starts to crop up and you understand it as you work through it.
Amen.
And if you're lucky enough to have someone in your life that can point you in the right direction, like your dad or a friend, all the better. But if you don't have someone like that, you've got us chirping in your ear and showing you that, hey, no one knows. Go out and figure it out yourself.
Amen.
And I like that, baby. Fear runs from you.
Fear is fucking deathly afraid of the day you look at it and run towards it.
And on that note, Nikki
you're
Cass,
the best.
Listen, everyone knows where to find you. Do we even need to do
Cass,
this?
Instagram, TikTok, that's where you find me. Nikki Cass Media, the whole nine. But thank you again for the time, man. It was awesome.
Big things coming for you soon, baby. Good to see you.
You as well. Good to see you, too.